The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave us this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servant of the God your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is a word of the Lord.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. In all honesty, the sermon doesn't have to be as long now. Thank you for all those good examples that fit nicely with our Romans reading today. Today is our last of our Romans readings through the lectionary. As we've been following through this book of Romans, we've gotten to see selected readings all the way through the book, all summer long. And as we make it to the end, it actually brings us back around to the beginning. And it does so in this framework of treating other brothers and sisters in Christ with respect, knowing that they are just trying their best to follow Christ. You see, all the way back in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, we saw the theme for the book of Romans laid out, that the righteous shall live by faith. And really, a lot of times we hear that word shall live by faith, and it's a loaded word. Back in Romans chapter 1, 17, it kind of starts flowing with saying, you shall live currently by faith, saying that all of you who continue to be those who God calls his children, those who are saved by Jesus Christ, those who know your sins are paid for, you shall live by faith then. Walk in faith. Walk in the light. Follow your Savior. And then he follows this track. There's these different clumps, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks at a time that we've made all summer, where the next thing he talked about was sin and how we're slaves to sin, and how as slaves to sin, a lot of times we find ourselves going back and forth, feeling awful for things that we've done, but God is there to lift us back up and call us his own. In fact, the next thing he jumps to is says, you're not a slave to sin, you're a servant to Christ, you're a servant to God, you follow him. And then the next jump he makes is not saying, you're not even a servant really, you're family of God. You're his chosen child. He said he knew you before the creation of the world and said, I know you more deeply than anyone else will ever know you. I love you. I want you to be in my family. And then he made the jump from saying, you're not just in my family. In fact, you are my child. You're connected to the one body of my son, my only son, Jesus Christ. You have him as the head, and you and his church are one body together. And then we've seen how that plays out, serving and being a part of this one body with Christ as our head. And we hear today about not belittling our brothers or sisters in Christ, those who are maybe weak in faith, because we feel that we're stronger in the faith, saying, you know what, we are all part of one body together, and we shall live by faith today, and we look forward to the day when we shall live eternally by faith. He brings us back around, talking about when Jesus returns and how every knee will bow and give an account to him. So looking then at our reading from today from Romans 14, starting off very clear, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. It's really, really wonderful. One of the first things I noticed about this church when our family first showed up, it was actually 4th of July weekend, and we had just found out that we were going to be called here to Christ the Vine, and we're like, okay, they're not that far away. They're just across the gorge, so we had to drive from the Dalles where we were doing our vicarage, and we drove over. It was pretty early to get here on time, but we got out here, and we were very happy to get to meet the church. And I didn't ask you before. I hope it's okay. Give me a head, Bob, if I'm allowed to share what happened, Bobby. Oh, he's nodding for you, Bobby. We got you. Thanks, John. we got out of the car, and the first thing, like, okay, well, I'm wearing a clerical collar, and I've got a large family, and you've seen our pictures at this point, because it was already decided, you know, there was the call day service. You guys knew that I was coming to be the pastor here, and we were all very excited. We'd already received emails and text messages and Facebook friends and things. And we get out of the car in the parking lot off by the orchard where we're allowed to pick the fruit that we just heard about. We get out of the car, and we're like, okay, well, we don't know anyone else here, but the first person we saw was this guy in Crocs and a tie-dye t-shirt getting out of his car. I know you. Welcome. Come on in. Pastor or pastor yet? Welcome in. Thanks, Bobby. That was very nice. Sean said I could say that story just now. So, from the moment we started coming onto this campus, we felt just so welcomed and supported. And I continue, whenever I have visitors come by and they come and check in at the church for the first time, I like to ask them, if I get a chance during lunch, say, tell me some things about the church, because we're here all the time. We get used to seeing things over and over again. What's something that stands out about the church here? Something that makes sense or something that's weird and that you don't understand, or why do you do it that way? And almost without fail, 95% of the time, everyone says they just felt so welcomed when they come to Christ the Vine. And it's nice for me to say, I felt that way too not that long ago. It's so nice that this congregation has this as part of its center, to say, you know what, we want to welcome people in. No matter how strong or weak in the faith they are, they might be coming to us because they've moved and they've been going to church their whole life. They might be coming because they haven't been to church in years. They might be coming because they've never come before and they heard that we give out grape jelly to visitors. But this is our calling, to welcome anyone into Christ's church, his church on earth, to hear his word. And the Bible says that you should never snuff out, even as a smoldering flame, they're a little tiny flame, right? You don't want to say, oh, welcome to church. Oh, you didn't dress right. Oh, welcome to church. This is my pew. Welcoming someone into church and saying, we're so happy you're here. God be praised. That's the calling that we have as his children and as his people, because that's what's been done for us. Not just here at this church or at other churches, but that's what God says to you. Welcome home. Welcome to my church. You are welcome in God's house. He knows you. He knows all of your wonderful great gifts that he's given you, and he knows all those other things that are less than wonderful. And he says, welcome. I'm so happy you're here. And he's going to say the same thing someday, when he calls you to your heavenly home, or when Jesus should return. Maybe you would be saved from a super long sermon. Who knows? It could be right now. God continues to welcome his people into his church and into eternal glory, because he has shown us great mercy and love to make us his own. And so then, just a little bit of law, because apparently the Roman church needed to hear it too. And I'm sure that sometimes, maybe sometimes, not often, just occasionally, you need to hear law too. Do not quarrel or put down people just because they observe different eating laws or different days of worship. If they're doing it in service to the one true Christ, the one triune God, then God be praised. Maybe they can't make it to Sunday service because they work on Sunday. Maybe they eat differently because they read somewhere in Scripture, you're not supposed to eat this, so I guess I'm not going to eat that because I want to honor God and trust in him. To which I'm always reminding them, there was a time when Peter got to experience bacon for the first time as an adult. Man, that would be amazing to remember the first bacon time. God be praised that all of us, in any level of faith, are welcomed in, and that he's given us a desire in our hearts to follow him and to follow his word. If someone's truly trying to follow God's word out of a desire to listen to the scriptures and to trust in him, who are we to say otherwise? We can have discussions and say, oh, wow, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. You know, I think of this part of scripture that says this thing. Make sure you say that part real nice and easy, otherwise we dip off the other side of the boat and start being those people who are poking our friends instead. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Who are we to pass judgment on a brother or sister in Christ because they do things differently than us? I mean, we're at Christ the Vine. We do a lot of things differently than a lot of churches. The Lord is able to make him stand. The Lord is able to make all of us stand, no matter how right or wrong we do things, no matter how often we bow before we come up to the altar, no matter how often we do whatever it may be. We are servants of the one Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died to pay for the consequence of all sins, the one who says to you, your sins are forgiven, my life is your life, I welcome you to your eternal home. Following that, then, Paul makes sure they really see it. He lays it out with eating. He lays it out with days of worship service. He says this, the Lord will make him upheld. And he says it again. It's a chiasm. It's really cool. That's not part of today's sermon. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother, or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. That phrase alone, whew, can hit hard like law never could. There will be a day when every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. We talked about being weighed and measured before God, having our sins weighed out against our good things, our good works. And we are so thankful that it's not our scale that gets us to heaven, but Jesus Christ alone. When we stand before the judgment seat of God, he doesn't see all of your inadequacies. He sees God, Jesus' work for you. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And we saw this not too long ago, just a few weeks ago. Whenever someone's quoting something from the scriptures, they would say from the Old Testament, they want us to draw from the knowledge that we have of the Old Testament. They want us to draw from the knowledge of, oh, right, he said that, as it says in the scriptures, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And we're supposed to know what happens next, the next verse. We're supposed to have it in the back of our mind. It comes from Isaiah chapter 45. Don't you have verses 23 and 24 memorized? I don't, and that's why I'm going to go pick up my Bible from over here. We don't have scripture memorized. I want to encourage you, if you ever see a time where it says, as it says in the scriptures, and then they quote something, try and find it. It's pretty cool. A lot of times your Bible will have little study notes at the bottom. Take a look at those, and it'll tell you where to go and find it. This is from Isaiah chapter 45. To me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. We're close on the translation. And then this next verse. Only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. Only because of the Lord shall anyone be able to say that I have righteousness or strength. So when we're called before the judgment seat of God, when God will look at us and say, yes, you get to come to heaven, it's not because he sees you and your righteousness and your strength of character. He sees you, and only in the Lord, he says, you are righteous and holy. You are strong in the faith. You are my child. Welcome to your eternal home. And so then in verse 12, as it says, each of us will give an account of himself to God. We can look back at Romans chapter 1. The righteous shall live by faith. When an account is asked of you, I'm here because Jesus said I could be here. You shall live by faith, not just today and not just tomorrow, faithfully following Jesus. You shall live eternally in your heavenly home because of the faith God has granted you to trust in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. All of Romans has been building to this. You shall live by faith, not as a slave to sin, as a servant of God, as a servant who's actually a part of his family, as his own child who's in fact given the one body, the one life of Jesus Christ. You shall live daily by faith until you live eternally by the same faith that got you there. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.